want to turn in your Bibles, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. Very simple but very important truth this morning about God's Word, which is a very important part of our Christian life, God's Word. So notice verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So desire the word is our title this morning. Let's pray. Love you, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege to be here. And we pray that you'd now use your word in our hearts to encourage us about your word. And Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to hear from you today. And Lord, we would take seriously what the Holy Spirit says to us. So Lord, we pray you'd be glorified in this service, that you'd be in control of all of it. And Lord, that we would leave changed. We love you. We thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're a Christian this morning, you're not sinless here on earth yet. We all wish we were, but we aren't. We still struggle with sin. And Paul mentions some of those things there in verse 1. Malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy. Malice talking about a desiring ill will toward others. I'm sure none of you have ever experienced that. Guile, which is deceit, hypocrisy, not living your profession, claiming to be a Christian but not acting like a Christian. Envy, being jealous of what others have. And we could go on and on, but what God is sharing with us in this passage is we're to lay these things aside. As Christians, we're to be living like Jesus. We're not to be living in sin. And Peter here is giving us a solution to this issue in our lives, and that is his word. God saved us and indwelt us, but he gave us this amazing tool to help us with sin. Now, we all struggle with sin. You know, the Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 12, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The devil knows what that sin is, and he tries to use it against you all the time, doesn't he? But let me ask you this. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, and he went through that temptation for us, by the way, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. When he was tempted in the desert, his response to the devil was to quote Scripture. Each time he was tempted, he said, "It is written." And he quoted God's Word, showing us the power of God's Word to resist the devil, but also showing us how important it is that the Word of God be a part of our lives when we are tempted. And we will be. Now, the Bible says that God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Right? 1 Corinthians 10:13. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. What is that way? Well, I believe part of that way of escape is as we hide this in our hearts, as we make it a vital part of our Christian lives, it gives us those tools to resist the temptation. So God didn't promise us that when we are tempted that we won't have any issues with it. If he did, then what's the point of the temptation? But the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation," in James 1:12. So God wants us to lay aside these things. But then he tells us how to do it in verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." Don't desire sin, desire the word. And, you know, when I think about the Israelites in the Old Testament and their reaction to the manna, after they had it for many years, they said, "We're tired of this manna. Free food falling down from the sky every day." They just went and picked it up, baked a cake, didn't have to work for it, didn't have to plant anything. God just rained down the food from heaven. And they said, "We're tired of it." Now, manna in the Old Testament, you know what it pictures, don't you? This, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes Christians can get to the point, if they've been saved a while, where they say, "You know, I'm tired of reading my Bible every day. I'm tired of meditating in the Word. I'm tired of studying God's Word." It just means you have a heart problem. You need to sort that out with the Lord. But God's asking us to desire His Word here in verse 2. Desire it. Let's go, if we could, to Psalm 119. We knew we would turn there because it's not only the longest chapter in the Bible. Go to verse 92. But it is the chapter in the Bible that talks exclusively about God's Word. 176 verses about God's Word. Notice verse 92 of Psalm 119. We're talking about desiring the Word. David said here in Psalm 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." My delights. David said, "I delight in His Word." Look down at verse 97. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." David said, "I love God's Word, and I meditate in it all day." Now look at verse 127. "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." David said, "I love the Word of God more than money." Now look at 165, verse 165 of Psalm 119. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." God is explaining to us that if we are going to be able to set aside the sin that we struggle with, the sin that we are tempted with, living in this wicked world, and the devil, the tempter, always throwing things at us, we need to desire this book. And you might say, "Well, I don't desire it." What's the solution? Get on your knees. Say, "Lord, bring back that desire." Remember when you first got saved, you just couldn't get enough of the Bible? Every chapter was new. Every concept was new. Every truth was new. God wants that to stay, but sometimes we need to just get back on our knees and say, "Lord, I need you to renew that desire." Be like David and say, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And so the first point of this message is that God wants us to desire His Word, to desire it, to love it, to want it. That is what He wants for us if we're going to struggle with sin and win. The second thing we see in this passage, verse 2, He says, the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2. What is He teaching us there? He's teaching us that the Word of God is nourishment. We all can relate to that word milk. That's what a baby needs. A baby can't live without it, can it? Has to have milk. We have to have milk. Spiritual milk. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. And what He's teaching us here is that this is our nourishment. You know, many of us take vitamins and we try to eat the right foods so that we get the proper nourishment. Here is the right food. Here is the proper nourishment. Here's your vitamins from a spiritual point of view. You're holding it in your hand. It's the Word of God. Now, there's many verses that talk about the Bible being nourishment. I just want to look at a couple. Go, if you would, to Psalm 119 again, this time verse 103. I won't turn there, but Job said, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now look at Psalm 119, verse 103. David said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So again, David is likening the Word of God to food, isn't he? He's saying that the Word of God is sweet, that I love to feed on it. From a spiritual point of view, he's saying it's sweeter than honey. Now go to Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15, 16. We're talking here about how the Word of God is to be desired, but how it is nourishment for our souls. Jeremiah verse chapter 15, look at verse 16. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Notice he says, "I did eat them." And then probably the most powerful, Matthew 4:4. Let's turn there if we could. I mentioned earlier about Jesus being tempted in the desert. And he was tempted the same as Eve was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the three categories of sin given to us in 1 John chapter 2. And every time Jesus was tempted by the devil, he quoted Scripture. But the first time he quoted Scripture to the devil, verse 4 of Matthew 4, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He's quoting the Old Testament, Jesus here in the desert being tempted by the devil after 40 days and 40 nights of no food or drink. And the devil says, "Make these stones bread." He's tempting him with the lust of the flesh. And I can guarantee you he was hungry after 40 days. Can you imagine? Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then if you look at Hebrews 5, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Did you ever wonder why when God is instructing the pastors in the New Testament how to be good pastors, that he often uses the word feed when talking about the pastor feeding the flock? Acts 20, Paul talking to the elders at Ephesus, he said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says, "Feed the flock of God." Feed them what? Feed them this. Not his own ability to speak well or his own great stories, but feed them the nourishment of God's Word. Feed them the Word. Hebrews 5 talks again about how the Bible is likened to food. Look at verse 12. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Verse 13. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now, if you've been saved for a couple of months, that's okay. You're supposed to be a babe in Christ, because you were just born again. But if you've been saved for years and years, Paul's essentially rebuking the Hebrews that he's writing to and saying that you need to graduate from the milk to the meat. He goes on to say in verse 14, "Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Full age, talking about spiritual maturity here. He's not talking about our physical age, but our spiritual maturity. And it's all based upon His Word. Did you see that? Milk or meat. And so what we find in our passage here in 1 Peter is that we're all going to struggle with sin, but God says, lay it aside. And I'm going to tell you how. Desire the Word and feed on it every day. Just like the Israelites were commanded to feed on the manna every day. And remember, God designed the manna such that if you said, "You know, I'm just not in the mood today to go gather manna. I'm just going to wait till tomorrow. And so I'm just going to gather twice as much and set it aside." It went off. It didn't go off because God didn't make something perfect. It went off because He was teaching them. They had to go out every day and gather for that day. By the way, they weren't allowed to say, "I'm going to sleep in today and I'm going to go gather mine at lunchtime." It went off. You had to gather it in the morning and you had to gather it daily. There were some great spiritual lessons there. We need to be in here every morning, and we need to do it every day. We need to be feeding on His Word. So the first point God is saying is you need to desire it. The second point is it will give you the nourishment that you need. The third point, verse 1 Peter 2:2, that ye may grow. Nothing like this book has the power to grow you in your spiritual life like the Word of God. It is a powerful book. And we could spend the next 20 minutes just talking about how powerful this book is. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How's that for powerful? It can discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Ephesians 6:17 says the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And James 1:25 says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's like a mirror even. It reflects back the sin in our life and the areas where we need to grow and be more like Jesus. So this book is powerful. And what it will do is it will grow us. Now let's look at some Old Testament, Joshua 1:8, and some New Testament verses that show that this book has the power to grow you in your Christian life. Go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. I know a lot of you have this verse memorized. It's a great verse to memorize. And I know it's Roy and Paula's favorite verse because the last two words are their last name in Spanish. See, I remembered. Look what it says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What's the world looking for? Success. What's the world looking for? To be prosperous. Wow. In one verse, God talks about how to be prosperous and how to have good success. Or buen suceso. Isn't that amazing? And what does it all come down to? This book. Now look at Psalm 1. Another passage I know you're all very familiar with. The very beginning of the book of Psalms is the first three verses. And you know what they talk about? They talk about being prosperous. What's the secret? Let's look. Verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate sometimes. That's not in the King James Bible, by the way. Just seeing if you were paying attention. Day and night. And then look what will happen. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, wow, shall prosper. But what's the key? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then he'll be like a tree that grows because its roots are deep and its leaves are green and it puts out the fruit it's supposed to put out. This book has the power to do that, to grow us. And now let's look at some New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. So what we find is in our struggle with sin, what does God want? Number one, desire the Word. Number two, understand that this book is your food, your spiritual food. It's nourishment to the soul. And number three, this book will grow you if you will feed upon it. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's pretty powerful. But look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Isn't that good? God's desire is to perfect you, little by little, during your time on earth. Doctrinally, we're already perfect. Amen? We're already righteous. We're already justified through Jesus Christ. But in our daily struggle here with sin on this earth in this old man's body, God is working in us day by day to perfect us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And God just shared with us that this amazing book, that it's inspired of God and is profitable, can do what? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. It furnishes us unto all good works. And one more, 2 Peter 3:18. Let's turn over there. I know a lot of you memorized this at family camp a couple years ago when Brother Savinsky was preaching. 2 Peter 3:18. What does it say? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How do you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There's only one place where that's available. In the book that our Creator has written for us. That's where we get knowledge about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what we find in this simple but ever so powerful passage here in 1 Peter is that in our struggle with sin, we're not going to have victory unless we make this book a vital part of our lives. That we desire it, that we feed on it and recognize its nourishment for us. And if we will do that, it will literally grow us in our Christian life. And if you've grown in your Christian life since the day you were saved, it did not happen outside of the Word of God. It happened because of the Word of God. And that's important. Back to our passage, we'll finish there in verse 3. If so be, 1 Peter 2:3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We serve a gracious God. The grace of God. Hallelujah. For by grace are you saved. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be going to hell. And then every day, the Bible says in James 4:6, He giveth more grace. He just gives grace. Every time we need it, He gives grace. We need to come to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need. He's a gracious God. And God says, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, that He's good to you, that he's patient with you, that He's kind to you every day, and that in His grace He saved you from hell, if so be you've tasted that, desire the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. He's not writing to the unsaved. He's writing to those of us that have tasted the grace of God through salvation and through God's daily kindnesses in our lives. And what is He asking of us? It's not that big. He's asking us to feed on the book that He wrote for us, to reveal Himself to us, to reveal Jesus, to reveal the gospel, to reveal everything, His commandments, all that we need. But He says, I want you to feed on it. I want you to desire it. And I want you to study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. To show thyself approved unto God. He wants us to memorize it. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He wants us to meditate in it, like we saw there in Psalm 1. In His law doth he meditate day and night. But feed on it. Desire it. How often? Just remember that manna. And we aren't under the law. So God isn't saying that we don't have to go collect manna on Saturday like the Israelites. We aren't under the Sabbath law because we're not Jews. We're to gather it every day. Desire the Word. If I had to give one piece of advice to a new Christian, that would be it. Just be in the book every day. Just be in the book. Be in prayer. Go to church. But be in the book every day. You need it. We all need it. Desire it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this book. For speaking to